Him. Ain't nobody like Him. Nobody in all the world. Amen. The actor can't do Him, and the artist can't draw Him, and the astrologer can't describe Him. I mean, just on and on. He's so far and above and beyond anything else we could ever imagine, anyone else we could ever praise. Amen. God is so far above and beyond anybody else, anything else. And my friend, He is deserving of all our worship and praise. I'm going to be in 1 Kings 15 this evening. Young people, thank you for singing. Thank you for your hard work this afternoon. And I don't know how good it sounded out there. It sounded pretty good up here on the platform. And I'm glad that the Lord never gave up on me. He ought to have. People talk about drunkards and how bad they were. I, as a preacher's kid, had every opportunity, heard every great preacher you could ever hear of our generation, and yet constantly rejected the grace of God. God should have gave up on me a whole long time ago, but thank God He kept calling, He kept speaking, He kept preaching, and thank God He never gave up on me. I'm in 1 Kings 15 tonight. Would you stand with me out of reverence reading of God's Word? And we want to preach tonight this message that the Lord has laid upon our heart. Now, the good Lord willing, I'm not going to be long tonight. Amen. Y'all believe that, don't you? Amen. 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 Well, if you can't believe a preacher, who can you believe? Amen. 1 Kings 15. Now, amen, that long preaching, that's relative. What I think's long is probably different than what you think is long. And so to me, 2 hours of preaching, that ain't long. Amen. Some of y'all, 20 minutes of preaching, that's a real long time. That's about all you want. But we won't be long tonight, all right? Verse number 1, now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem, to set up his son after him, and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And if you'd read on down the next 2 or 3 verses, you'll find that the Lord begins to describe the reign of Abijam to some degree, and it ends off with his life ending in death. I'm interested tonight, if the Lord will help us, in verse number 4. The Bible said, nevertheless, in verse 4 and 5, nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him, and to establish Jerusalem, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And if the Lord will help us, I want to preach on this thought tonight. I'll go ahead and give you my thought. It'll take me a minute to get there. I want to preach on this thought tonight. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Father, we're thankful tonight for the Word of God. We're thankful for the good presence of God tonight. Thank you for all the good songs that have been sung that have encouraged our hearts and helped us, Lord, this evening. My soul is been filled tonight. And Lord, I'm thankful this evening that God, you've been here, and Lord, you've been working and moving. I do ask now this evening that you'd speak to hearts. And Lord, in everything and in all things that are said here this evening, that your children would be challenged, and God, that you'd continue a good revival work that you begun some several weeks ago. And Lord, we do need your help tonight. We're asking for it over and again. And God, may we come clean with you this evening and get thoroughly right with our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this evening. As we've read these verses are concerned with the reign of Abijam over Judah. Bible said in verse number 1, at Jeroboam the son of Nebat, after he died, reigned Abijam over Judah. His reign, according to verse number 3, was 3 years. And the Bible said in verse number 3, and this was not a man that walked after God, but according to verse number 3, he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before it. And so this man, my friend, in his reign, 3 years in reigning over Judah, he didn't honor God, he didn't live for God, he didn't walk after God, he didn't honor the Lord. But the Bible said, and he lived a very sinful way, he reigned in a very wicked way. And the Bible said the reason for this was his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. In other words, Abijam had a heart problem. I was reading this week, even in my devotions, where Jesus said, and my friend, it's not the things that enter into a man that defile a man, but it's the things that come up out of his heart and defile a man. And my friend, your heart does matter before God. Amen. God, now I'm not saying today that God is not interested in the outside. I believe God is interested in the outside. He's interested in our body. He's interested in, my friend, you and I having a clean and right testimony on the outside. Before God is interested in the outside, God is interested on the inside. And so God looked down and seen Abijam and all that he did. And the Bible said that the reason that he did this was that his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. And so, my friend, he had a heart problem, and immediately in this passage of Scripture, the Holy Ghost begins to draw a parallel between the testimony of Abijam and the life and the heart and the testimony of David before God. In fact, in our verse, in verse number 3, amen, the contrast is made in the difference of the heart of Abijam and the heart of David. And so Abijam's heart, his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. And so the Holy Ghost is reminding you and that of this great man of David. Now what I want to do tonight is in verse 4 and in verse number 5, amen, the Holy Ghost begins to describe a very testimony of the life of David. And I get to where I want to go in just a moment, and so bear with me. How many of you believe me? I'm going somewhere, okay? Amen. Just hang with me. What the Holy Ghost said is that Abijam walked in sinful ways. My friend, God blessed him anyway, and God let him reign anyway because of the life and the testimony of David. Amen. God honored Abijam. Amen. Not so much because of Abijam, but because of the testimony of David. And what I want to do is cover the life and the testimony that God gives of David here in this passage of Scripture. Amen. Some of it's good and some of it's bad. And I remind you tonight that God tells the whole story. Amen. You and I can stand up and brag on one another and brag on ourselves and give a real polished testimony that makes you and I look real good. But my friend, God has a way of giving the whole story. Amen. God knows the end from the beginning, the good from the bad, and the right from the wrong, and the righteous from the sinful. And God's going to tell the whole testimony of David. Notice what God said about his testimony. Number 1, before the Lord, David had a choice testimony. He had a choice testimony. Listen to what God said about David's testimony. The Bible said in verse 4, nevertheless, for David's sake, if the Lord is God, give him a lamp in Jerusalem, and set up his son after him, and to establish Jerusalem. Because, listen, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And I say to that is a choice testimony. You understand what the Lord is saying about David. And the Bible said, from Gerald, that David was a man that did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. What God said was right, David embraced his right. What God said was wrong, David said was wrong. Amen. Every time that my friend David lived his life, amen, the days of his life, it can be said, at the majority of his days, said David, did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. What a choice testimony. If that can be said of you, and that can be said of me, friend, that would be a choice testimony. Amen. To be known for doing right. Amen. Flip back, if you will, a few chapters and understand this is not just some passing testimony. Amen, friend, it's really what the Lord saw in the life of David. In chapter number 11 and verse number 33. Chapter 11 and verse number 33. The Bible said, because in they have forsaken me, and have worshipped Ashtaroth, and goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which was right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. In other words, God is drawing a man, friend, about the life of Jeroboam and the life of David. God said Jeroboam went after the god of Ashtaroth. Amen. Worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians. And he worshipped Chemosh, the god of the Moabites. And he worshipped Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon. Amen. And God said the reason he did that is that he did not that which was right in the eyes of the Lord as David his father. Amen. Brother Rob, Jeroboam, amen, was known for following other gods. My friend, when God spoke to David, God said, everywhere he goes and in everything he does, he considers what is right in the eyes of God. And I say in 2014, in the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, amen, we need some church members and Christians to live right in the eyes of the Lord. Amen, I'm telling you, the Word of God said, and the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Amen. When you're all alone, you ought to do right in the eyes of the Lord. And you're in public, you ought to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. We ought not be given idolatry and the worldliness and the carnal attention. We ought to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Even said in Psalm 138 and in verse number 2, he said, really, if I can paraphrase it, he said, Lord, your eyes are upon me. There's nowhere I can go. I can't ascend into the heavens, or God wouldn't be watching me. I couldn't ascend into hell, or God wouldn't be looking at what I was doing. He said, you behold my uprising and my down sitting. In other words, God sees everything you and I do. It's one thing to do right in the eyes of the preacher. It's one thing to do right in the eyes of the church. It's one thing, young folk, to do right in the eyes of mom and dad. I'm about ready to mess up and start preaching. I'm going to preach 4 hours. Amen. It's one thing to do right when everybody's watching. God said to David, he had a choice testimony. And Brother Dean, he knew how to do right when nobody but the Lord was watching. Amen. He wasn't sneaking off smoking cigarettes. And friend, he wasn't slipping off when nobody's around. And running down the dance hall, said, hey, friend, he wasn't that friend giving himself. Amen. When nobody's around, you wouldn't have to worry about catching on David. Amen. With some country station, or rock station on the radio. Amen. David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. David's known for a lot of things. In fact, in one place, the Word of God said about David that he was a man after God's own heart. Amen. We know David in his testimony. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. In fact, in your King James Bible, amen, God used David to pen down, amen, much of what we enjoy in the King James Word of God. And I've seen that David had a testimony of being a good king over Israel. He reigned with all his heart and all his this man. David is known, man, friend, as the great giant killer and a great warrior for God. And above all things, I think that God could ever say about David, amen, to say that David, amen, did right in the eyes of the Lord, amen, that's the choicest testimony that any man, woman, boy, or girl, or young person would ever have in the sight of God, that you do right in the eyes of the Lord. In chapter number 14, listen to this. Amen. Are y'all with me? Please don't check out on me. I'm going somewhere. In chapter number 14 and in verse number 8, listen to what the Lord said. Of Abel said in verse number 8, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was read in man's eyes. Amen. What is God saying? God's saying that David's life was lived up, amen, friend, only seeking to do what was read in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. I want to be that kind of Christian, Brother Roth. Amen. That God can say, I'll let better down there. And when the church ain't around, and his wife ain't around, and his youngins ain't around, and his preacher friends ain't around, he's still seeking. I'll only do that which is right in the eyes of God. Pastor Phil Beck has taught me, and he even said it several times, I don't know if you caught it, that you are what you are when nobody's a-looking. When Gerald ain't a-looking, God's still looking. When mom and daddy ain't there, God's still looking. Ah, friend, when you ain't got a righteous, holy friend around, the Lord looks on that, and he sees everything we do. He sees the heart. He not only sees what we do, he sees what we want to do. Amen. Can I preach right there for a minute? Amen. Listen, I believe our churches are filled with people that, my friend, and young people, that, my friend, they may not have run off and got drunk. Amen. Young ladies may not have run off and throwed on a pair of tight breeches. Amen. Young men may have never went down that. And my friend fornicated with some girl that. And my friend, if it's in your heart, amen, God sees the heart. Amen. God is interested in that, amen, and even the desires we have to do to be right in his sight. Y'all may as well say, man, we're going to buckle down and preach a choice testimony. Well, how's your testimony tonight? Oh, we might can stand you up and everybody say, wow, what a Christian. Amen. We might stand you up tonight in front of everybody and you convince us about how rich you are and how good you are and how blessed we are to be in your presence. My friend, what does God say? What is God's testimony of your life? Amen. Listen, we ought to desire to be like David and have a choice testimony. Notice with me, David not only had a choice testimony, but God said about David, he had a consistent testimony. The Bible didn't just say, Brother Hinn, that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Let me see your book, son. Look with me in chapter 15, verse number 5. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Listen now, and turn not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Son, you talking about a testimony. Amen. Listen, we ain't talking about what Samuel said about David. We're not talking about what Nathan said about David. We're not talking about what David's wife said about David. We're talking about what the Lord said about David. The Lord said, I tell you what I like about David. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And all the days, every day of his life, he never turned from anything that God had commanded him to do. In other words, God could trust David to speak to him and give him a word and a commandment, and David would do it. And I didn't say it, but God said, David did it all the days of his life. Hey, y'all want to know what all means in the Hebrew and Greek? It means all. All means all. Amen. In pig Latin, it means all. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen. Oh, that means David, my friend, God could trust it, and he would have a consistent testimony on the things that bothers me about our generation, my generation of Christianity, is the instability. Amen. People live for God one day, and then they don't live for God the next day. They're doing what God commands in one service, and then, my friend, before the wink sound, they done give in and gone and sown their wild oats. And my friend, they're not consistent in living for God. I ain't getting on you, but I'm getting on you tonight. Shame on you if you're not consistent. And shame on me when I'm not consistent. Amen. We ought to be like David. It can be said that the days of their lives are spent consistently in obedience to Almighty God. Did the New Testament not say that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways? A man, a woman, a Christian young person, it sells out one day, and then, my friend, they sell out on what they sold out to. The next day, my friend, you're double-minded, and on the authority of the Word of God, we can't trust you anymore. We can pick up and throw you up. Amen. Listen, we ought to be stable. And what God has said today, God expects me to be living tomorrow. Amen. I've watched this crowd. Amen. And listen, all I've ever known is independent, fundamental, King James Bible thumping. That's all I've ever known is screaming, snotting, sweating, shouting, stomping, preaching. That's all I've ever known, Brother A.L. Amen. And I've watched and lived long enough at 35 years of age. I've watched that crowd run down and give up their britches and say, God said it has to give this up. I've watched that crowd run down. And my friend burned the country music. I've watched young people get rid of posters. I've watched young folks sell out. I've seen mom and daddy get on fire. Only down the road to sell out. My friend on their convictions. And to back up on what they said God told them to do. Not old David. David has a choice. Consistent testimony. Now here's where I want to preach. The majority of David's life is good. The majority of David's testimony is good. As I've already said, God tells the bad with the good. We only like, Brother Charlie, we only like to tell the good. Amen. Why? Because it makes us look good. I don't wear pants. Come on now, I don't listen to country music. And we kind of, amen. We only tell the good, God tells the bad with the good. Notice what the Bible said. David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of his life. He did everything God commanded, and then what the Bible say? Save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Y'all might as well look on up in here. David had a contradicting testimony. The majority of David's life was lived, amen, doing right in the eyes of the Lord. It was lived, my friend, obeying everything God said. And God said, man, I'm so proud of David. I'm thankful for a man like David. I'm thankful he's my child. But let me tell you the bad with the good. There was a day David got up and David didn't live in that choice testimony. There's a day David didn't have it all put together. And David had a day when David contradicted everything else that everybody seen in David. The contradicting testimony. Notice with me, my friend, there's a matter in David's life. If you will, notice. And let me draw your attention to this. And I promise I'm not going to be much longer this evening. If the good Lord will help me and y'all egg me on, all right? The Bible said, and turn not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, comma, save only in the matter. The word matter means issue. Amen. It means there was an issue in David's life that God shall on a certain day save only in the matter of your Abihitate. In that one phrase, save only in the matter of your Abihitate, the Lord God, the Holy Ghost, that friend runs you in that back. Amen. The time in David's life when he should have been out on the battlefield and he got lazy and he got unconcerned. And David, my friend, didn't control his lust and looked out off his palace walls and saw Bathsheba bathing, and he coveted her and lusted after her and sent for her and laid with her and conceived child with her and then had her husband Uriah killed out on the battlefield. And you talk about, my friend, that ain't a very choice testimony. It doesn't sound like the man had pinned down Psalm 23. It doesn't sound like the man had sat down and penned Psalm 1 and warned you and I about living in the realm of the ungodly. It doesn't sound like a man that had sold out slaying giants. Amen. He had a contradicting testimony of what everybody else knew about him. God said he had a matter. Watch this. Nobody knew, and I'll get to this in a moment, nobody knew but David and God and a handful of others what David did. Everybody in the building, Brother Will, they didn't know what he had done. But how many people seen David? A change in his countenance, Brother Rob. They seen a change in his spirit and his attitude. He's gone, my friend, from walking through the palace walls whistling Amazing Grace. He's gone, my friend, from that to now David walks back. And my friend, he's depressed and he's got an anxious look on his face. I wonder how many of David's servants sat back and, my friend, said in their heart or whispered in the corners, I wonder what's the matter with David. Amen. I imagine, my friend, David went, I'm going down the house of God. After all, he's the one that pinned down and said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And my friend, David is gone, amen, from going down the house of the Lord with the joy of God in his soul, with a shout in his arm, and thanksgiving rolling off his lips. And now David's a mere not on a log. I wonder, my friend, how many times that the preacher and the priest and the other men and women that went to church when David did, amen, sat back in their pew and had thoughts or whispered in a corner, what's the matter with old David? He ain't a shouting like he used to shout. He ain't enjoying the word of God like he used to enjoy. What's the matter with David? I wonder, my friend, how many times David went out into the community and doing his kingly business and checking on the affairs of his kingdom. And my friend, once a king that had, amen, a desire and a drive and a victory about it, amen, to see Israel succeed, has now gone, my friend, from victory to defeat. And he just has a faraway look in his head. I wonder how many of the subjects in his kingdom, amen, sat back and said, you know what, David just don't seem right today. In fact, David hadn't seemed right in a long time. I wonder what's the matter with King David. My question tonight is, what's the matter with you? I'm not asking tonight, what's the matter with your spouse, sir, ma'am? I'm sure you can nail down what's the matter with them. Good quiet crowd we got. Well, I tell you what's the matter with her. She ain't this and she ain't that. I tell you what's the matter with him tonight. Amen. He ain't this way and he ain't that way. Hey, I ain't asking you what's the matter with your spouse. I'm asking what's the matter with you. I'm not asking you, parents, what's the matter with your children. I'm sure we could all draw up a long list of things that's the matter with them. I'm not asking you, children, what's the matter with your parents. I'm sure you could draw up a longer list than we could about you. Amen, friend, listen, we're not asking an aid. Amen, what's the matter with your spouse and your children, or your parents, or your job, or your boss, or your friend, or your preacher. I'm not asking an aid. What's the matter with your church or anyone else? I'm asking an aid. What's the matter with you? You used to shout. You used to be on fire. Your family used to have the joy of God in it. Amen. You used to, man, friend, you couldn't wait to give the house the Lord, and now you come in dragging in late. Amen. You used to sing with the touching God. Amen. But it ain't there anymore. I'm not asking what's the matter with, amen, the preacher tonight. I'm not asking what's the matter with the choir tonight. I'm not asking what's the matter with anybody else. What's the matter with you? Boy, we're so quick. Can I preach here a minute? Man, we got everybody else so figured out. We know all the matters and issues of everybody else's life. Amen. We can point them out, make a, amen, a 5-point alliterated outline on all their matters, all they've ever done, what they need to do to get right. Amen, friend, God's interested tonight in you, and God wants to know what's the matter with you. We ain't getting anywhere till we come to the place we examine our own heart. Say, Lord, what's the matter with me? Amen. What's the matter with you? Now I'll be kind of generally specific tonight on purpose. I want the Holy Ghost to have some room to speak to your heart. In fact, while I'm a-preaching and while I've already given my thought and while, my friend, I am trying to get to where I want to go this evening, as God has laid it on my heart, amen, I'm convinced you already know, amen, what's the matter with you. You already know the areas of your life that you need to get right with God. You say, preacher, we done had revival and I've been to the altar and I've cleaned up. But yeah, amen, what's the other matter in your life, amen, that you need to take care of tonight? Amen. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Don't get your ass off everybody else. I'm asking tonight, what's the matter with you? Why can't you pray like you used to pray? Why can't you enjoy church like you used to enjoy? Amen. You say, well, so and so. No, it ain't so and so. It ain't Doc Wells. It ain't some other preacher that's come through. What's the matter with you? Why can't you enjoy a church like you used to? Whew. Son, I hope that quietness is the Holy Ghost settling in. What's the matter with you? Let me draw out some things here tonight about what the matter was with David as it relates to us. Number one, and I'm telling you it's generally specific tonight, but just let the Holy Ghost speak to you. Number one, notice with me, it was a single matter. The Bible said of David, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he didn't turn from anything that God had commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter. Single matter. It wasn't 1,200 things that God had on David. That was a matter with David. God said it's one single thing that's a matter with him. We get focused in and we think, man, I got to be right here and I got to be right there. And we begin to look at the big picture. But can I say tonight, and oftentimes it's the single little matters in our life, and is that, my friend, is robbing you and it of experiencing fullness in our relationship with God. Amen. Our testimony is oftentimes, amen, it comes out and it tells on us, amen, because of one single matter that we won't deal with. What is it you have made up your mind, I ain't going to deal with this? God's pulled it out. God's pointed it out. God's tried to get you victory over it. And my friend, it's one single matter that you won't lay down and get right with God and repent of. was a single matter. But Tony, it wasn't 1,200 things. It wasn't two things. It wasn't 10 things. God said, save only in the single matter. Save only in the matter. A single matter that God saw in David's leg. And God said that's the issue that contradicted everything everybody else knew about David. It's a single matter. Number two. I'm almost done. Somebody say amen. It's not only a single matter. Some of y'all want me to be done, ain't you? It was a secret matter. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and notice what the Lord said. David has now done what he's done. He's covered it up. David's gone to every great length, my friend, to make sure it doesn't get out on it. And I mean, man, he doesn't want nobody knowing what he's done. My friend, David forgot the Lord had already seen it. And if you're one of God's children, God ain't going to let your sin stay secret. In fact, over in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses said to the children of Israel, be sure your sin will find you out. God's got a way. Amen. God's got a way. You think you've got it covered up and hid. Mom and daddy don't know about it. Preacher don't know about it. Church don't know about it. Can I put a little word on the end of that? Yet. Mom and daddy don't know about it yet. Preacher don't know about it yet. Church don't know about it yet. Amen. David's matter was a secret matter. And because David wouldn't get it right, God exposed it to everybody, even down 6,000 years later to where we are tonight. We know about David's matter. Amen. Notice what God said. I got to get to it. I got to hurry. Man, I feel like God wants to help us tonight. Amen. Look with me. The Lord sent Nathan down to David. You know the parable he gives. Nathan points his finger. In verse number 7, he said, thou art the man. And he begins to rebuke David at the mouth of God. Amen. And exposes David for the contradicting testimony that David had. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 12. For thou didst it what? Secretly. That means David made every attempt to make sure nobody knew what David did. In fact, the best I can tell, the only people that knew was David and Bathsheba, a couple of servants that told David who Bathsheba was and warned him not to do it, and then Joab, the captain of David's army. There was five people that knew this great matter in David's life. You better believe David schmoozed them over. You better believe David did everything he could to make sure they didn't tell it. But God done seen it. God said, David, that matter with you and Uriah the Hittite, that sin you committed, it was a secret matter. You did it secretly. But when I get done, everybody's going to know. When I get done dealing with this matter in your life, amen, God said, I'm going to do it openly before all Israel. I feel like God's shooting out a warning tonight. We don't come through revival like we have and God moving like He has. And my friend, we think we're going to get by with sin. God has a way, my friend, of taking the matters that we refuse to deal with, and things that we say, you know what, I'm not concerned about it. A preacher don't know and nobody else knows. Amen. Listen, it was a secret matter. That secret matter was hurting David. It was a single matter. It was a secret matter. Number three. It was a sorrowful or a stealing matter. You come to Psalm 51. It's David's prayer of repentance from the matter that God points out in our text verse. And David is praying and he's getting right with God, attempting to get right with the Lord. And what does he say? He comes to the Lord. He said, Lord, I need you to heal the bones that thou hast broken. He pours his heart out to God, Brother A.L., and he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That one single matter, secret matter that David had tucked away, He thought nobody else knows, and yet everybody's sitting back. By the way, you can have a secret matter, and we may not know what your matter is, but that don't mean we don't know you have a matter. Amen. You can tell, Brother Gerald, you can tell in their attitude, in their spirit, in their eyes. You can tell when they walk in, they go from shouting to pouting, you know they got a matter. David said, it was a stealing matter. It stole my joy in the Lord. Everybody okay? You say, I want my joy back. Amen. Listen, you're going to have to deal with your matter. It may have been a single and a secret matter, and it produced a loss of joy in the life of David and got him a whooping from God. David got so honest with God and so plain about where he was in this matter. He said, Lord, I feel like you've broken my bones. Stole the joy right away from him. So I know what's the matter with the church. I know what's the matter with the preacher. I know what's the matter with mom and dad. I know what's the matter with my children. Well, that's good. What's the matter with you? What is it's got you so bogged down you can't even enjoy life anymore? You need to quit pointing the finger at everybody else and start examining your own heart and your own life. Amen. You know what I've learned? Most people ain't as bad as others make them out to be. But they ain't near as good as they make theirself out to be. Woo! You probably ain't as bad as your worst enemy wants us to think you are. But you ain't near as good and right with God as you'd like the rest of us to believe you are. What is it that's got you down? Quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming your husband. Quit blaming your wife. Quit blaming the church. Quit blaming the past. Quit blaming the circumstances of life. Quit blaming your parents. I'm asking you tonight, what's the matter with you? We're a generation of buck passers. We just shovel the buck on back, shovel the blame. Well, you know what? I wouldn't be the way I am if my mom and daddy would have bought me a Happy Meal when I was 6. God bless your little heart. It's time for you to grow up. It's funny how that parents blame their children for the way that they are. And children blame the parents for the way they are. And churches blame the preacher for the way they are. And preachers blame the church for the way they are. God's asking us a serious question tonight. What's the matter with you? I ain't got no matters. Well, would you pray for the rest of us? Because the fact is, Brother Hinn, I'm convinced in 35 years of being an independent fundamental Baptist, I was born out the womb being a Baptist. I didn't get saved till I was 17, but I've been a Baptist my whole life. I'm convinced that 35 years of it, there ain't a person ought not be on this altar tonight getting clean and thoroughly right with God. Hey, look on up in here while you're standing real quietly. Look at me. We know what's the matter with David. We know what's the matter with David. What's the matter with you? You know tonight, Brother Charlie, you know I could preach on hundreds of things. I'd get your matter sooner or later. I'd get your matter. You give me about 90 more minutes of preaching, I promise you I'll expose your little matter you got buried up. But you already know it. You already know it. You already know it. Brother Tony, as godly a man as he is, he already knows it. You young people already know it. That little matter of rebellion you got, you ought to get on the altar and get right with God. We know what's the matter with David. Here's my question. What's the matter with you? You come now, you come. If the Lord spoke to your heart, Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for speaking our heart. Thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that's given us liberty to preach tonight. Thank you tonight, Lord, that you're in charge and you're in control, that that you have no issues tonight. Father, this evening we're praying for our church and the members and the young people and the parents, Lord, that are here tonight. God, help us to quit focusing on what's the matter with everybody else. Help us, Lord, this evening to examine our heart, find out what's the matter with us, and get right with God. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. No one's looking around. There's folk praying tonight, young folk praying tonight, mamas and grandmas praying tonight, got daddies praying tonight. What's the matter with you? You do not well to blame everybody else. You got to get to the place where you deal with your own matter. What's the matter with you? Could it be tonight that what's the matter with you is you've never been saved? You ever been saved? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been born again? Hallelujah. Pray on, church. Pray on. God, let us get right tonight.